Okay, so we're going to do kind of follow on the thinking thing, but a little different. As I was pondering on thinking about thinking about thinking, I was reminded of how I started really writing my books, and those that came out of me. Well, it was a scripture. It's Psalm 27, verse 4. And it says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple." Well, I think I'd read the verse before for sure, but on this one day when I was, reading through this, those first two words, one thing just really jumped out at me. And as I looked at it, I was like, huh. And I thought, one thing, how can, and I guess David wrote this, how can David have one thing on his mind, you know? Because I have thousands of things on my mind. So I was thinking about all the things that are on my mind that, you know, captivate my attention. And as I was thinking about that, I believe the Lord said, yeah, that's your problem. You've got too many things on your mind. And I thought, what? You know, and then when I thought about, is it a problem to have too many things on my mind? I thought about that scripture. In James, it says, a double-minded man is unstable and restless in all his ways. And I thought, double-minded? I've got like 100 things in my mind, so I'm a 100-minded man. So I'm like really unstable, really restless, and really not in a good place. And there's a scripture in Psalm 119, verse 113, that says, you know, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love the treasure of your law. And so I was going, okay, wait a minute, double-minded, okay, thinking on more than one thing, but there's this one verse about one thing I have asked the Lord. I thought, I don't think I can focus. And when I said that, the Lord goes, yeah, you have a hard time focusing. You can't even hear from me because you're listening to so many different things. You're listening to your own thoughts. You're listening to your conscience. You're listening to that TV program. You're listening to conversations from yesterday and last year. You're thinking about the opinions of your parents, opinions of your friends. All these things are going on in your mind. No wonder you can't hear from me, because everything has the same value. Your friend says, you know, you give that the same value as a scripture. And even if I did speak to you audibly, you would only give it the same value as what your pastor said. And you just cannot, you can't prioritize all these voices, all these inputs in your head. And I just said, well, that's how everyone is. And that's the way it is. We're in a busy world, information overload, and that's normal. And I found out that's not the normal it's supposed to be. And that's when I learned about meditating. And this was like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago that I'd heard about meditating, and then I was kind of scared about meditating. But I believe the Lord led me into, you know, really practicing meditating. There's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to study it. One thing to look up the word in the dictionary. But another thing to actually apply something. And the scripture about meditating from the Bible is Joshua 1:8. And it says, this book of the law will not leave my mouth, but I'll think about it, you know, day and night. So they'll be careful to do all that's written in it. And then all will go well with you, and you'll receive many good things. So, you know, some homework would be to look at that verse in all the translations you have. But there's a promise that goes with thinking about the word or meditating on the word. You know, this Joshua 1:8 is one of the first verses I've ever memorized. But there's something about memorizing and something about meditating. But when you can get your mind to think about one thing only, when you can prioritize your focus kind of get laser focused, not just, you know, spotlight, but laser focused on one thought. You know, what if we really believe that God spoke? What if we really believe the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes out of his mouth? Well, if we really believe that, we would spend more energy and time trying to get those words out of his mouth, right? And those words out of his mouth are not necessarily things you read in a black book called the Bible. There are things which come out of his mouth, because Jesus did not say, blessed are those who read a scroll and then that's your food. It says, no, man does not live by McDonald's or Wendy's or Walmart or, you know, microwave food, all this stuff. No, you survive and you overcome and you thrive and you have identity and purpose because the Father, your life is in him. So out of his mouth, out of his breath, to you directly, there's life. So the converse exists too. If you are not receiving words out of his mouth, then you're not really living. Now, if we actually believe that and take that, wait a minute, I want to live. I want to not just get through the day. I don't want to exist. I want to do that John 10:10 stuff. Jesus came with a purpose. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so if we believe this book and we believe the message of the Savior, we need to expect more, because the promises are really that big, okay? And so, but I'm finding that we can't get to the real truth because we're not making it a priority. And I found that meditating on him and his words will help us really make his words life to us, his ways not way far away and confused by people saying one thing and da da da. If we will meditate on what the Father puts before us, our paths will be straight, our thoughts will be clearer, our actions will be with confidence, and we won't be going, well, I need two people to agree or five people to agree, and I, you know, we won't have that, because we'll be hearing from our Father directly. And what it says here in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law must not leave your mouth. For decades and years, I thought that was, you know, the five books of the Bible, and I had to, you know, somehow figure out how to, you know, memorize and keep all these words. But no, the book of the law in this context here is everything that's been made true or revealed to you. So not true and revealed to Wally, true and revealed to you. So when you're reading your Bible and the scripture gets really highlighted, you're like, wow, that's God revealing that and making that scripture alive to you, okay? That's when someone prophesies over you and you get the word of the Lord for your life. Those are the things which you need to, if you will, make a book of those scriptures you read, which become, you know, the jump off the page to you. People who speak words in your life that are encouraging and confirming and really life-giving, that you're like, wow, that was this perfect timing. I really need to hear that. Those prophetic words, those words of encouragement, those are the words which are your book of life, okay? If you will gather those phrases, those statements, those great Facebook statements that were like, you heard the right time, that letter in the mail, that article in a magazine that was like water to your parched soul. Those things, if you will gather them together and start meditating on them and asking the Father to go, is there more to this? Those are the things, if you keep inside your heart and keep inside of you and think about them day and night, then all will go well with you. This isn't about memorizing the book of Genesis, which is, you know, 50 chapters and thousands of words. No, it's those things which the Lord has customized for you, which is life for you. Okay? it's like going to a restaurant and you ordering what you want to eat off of a great menu, right? And when you order that meal, which is for you and your diet, which meets your needs, that satisfies you. And if you pick the right meal off the right meal off the right menu, then that is what you need for that day, right? And then for that day and for that night, everything like that. So what I want to look at here is the benefits of meditating, right? The benefits of getting your mind focused on one thing and not a thousand things, of not being accused or even functioning as a double-minded person. There is nothing good having our mind scattered, being a scattered brain person, having thoughts of fear and thoughts of faith and thoughts of hope and thoughts of yesterday and thoughts of trauma and thoughts of what am I going to do. All those things in your head, that's not single-minded. That's at minimum, it's double-minded. And the Bible, again, is very clear in James 1:8 that you're unstable, you're restless. Any day he thinks or feels or decides, it's not going to happen, right? And we cannot be sabotaging our lives by being double-minded. The reason why a lot of us don't accomplish what we're called to do or even what we want to do is because we're double-minded. And so I believe meditating will help us to not be double-minded, but be able to say, like David said, it's one thing. I'm going to ask the Lord. It's one thing I'm focusing on. There's one thing I will seek. And if we can focus on the one thing, we can have the one thing. But I think what happens is a lot of times, the Bible's real clear, if you seek, you'll find. But we go, I was seeking. Well, I think you were seeking for 45 seconds, then you changed your focus. It's like if, you know, the whole focus thing, I'll stop there. Anyway, but this meditating thing, I think the answer to a lot of our problems is understanding this discipline or this art of meditation. I believe one of the things that meditating will help us do, it'll help us tune our ears to hear. If you read through Revelation, all it says, you know, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who has an ear to hear. How do you get these ears? Meditating helps you get these ears, right? Psalm 49, 3 through 4 says, this is Young's translation, my mouth speaks wise things. Wait a minute. Is that automatic? No. But it goes on and says, and the meditations of my heart are things of understanding. And we know the Bible says that out of our heart, our mouth speaks. But it says here, the meditations of my heart. What are we meditating on? What are we thinking on? I incline my ear and I open with a heart my riddle. And so yesterday I was on a unique phone call to people. And this guy who I just met via the phone shared the scripture. And he shared the scripture, and I guess maybe I was rude, but I looked up probably 20 different translations of this verse of Psalm 49, verse 3 and verse 4, while they were talking about the stuff. I was rudely studying out or meditating, thinking on this one verse he said. Because in that verse 4 of chapter 49 in Psalms, it talks about that, if you read all the translations I've read, that worship or the song that's in your heart will open up mysteries. As in, if you're confused about something, or if your city's confused, or if you and a few friends are confused, if you worship, you'll take away the mystery and revelation will come about. That you will open doors to understanding. And I was like, what? I knew worship was powerful, and I've seen this happen when we're drumming. I've always said that if you drumming opens portals. I'd said that for years, but I never had a scripture for it until last night. And there's something about that. But anyway, but how do you get to where you're confident that when your mouth is moving, you're just not saying words, but your mouth is speaking wisdom through meditating? when you hey,
Wally.
Yep, question.
Can you, what was the scripture? Can you
Which one?
Say the scripture again. The one about worship and revelation, opening up understanding.
Psalm 49.
What scripture?
Psalm 49, verse 3 and 4.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, really, verse 4, it says, I mean, it's, I open with a heart, but a riddle. I'm like, what? I mean, things which are just confusing, a song of the Lord, worship will open up that thing.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
Okay, I've heard of meditation and stuff. I have no clue exactly what it is. I've seen it, seen people sit there and saying home, home, home with their fingers and their legs crossed and everything, but I don't know what they're doing exactly.
Yeah, they're being stupid. So when so years ago, I had seen the same thing, and I was kind of confused when the Lord said, you need to meditate. And when the word meditate is spoken, I think of a guy with a long, not skirt, but a long thingy, sitting there with his eyes rolled his head and his hands palmed up, and he's humming something. And I'm thinking, I am not doing that. And so when I first was supposed, when I thought I was supposed to do meditating, I didn't know what that was either. And the Lord goes, well, Google it. I'm thinking, that's not very spiritual to Google it. You know, so I Googled, I put in, I typed the word meditate and Googled it. And I got all of these very strange websites. And I'm thinking like, well, God, this is a very wrong, this is wrong. These are scary, you know? And so I got to one website, and this one website was very simple. It had like, you know, 7 steps to meditating, or 6 steps, right? And I thought, okay, this is simple. You know, I like simple. So the first step was, you know, number one, you know, go to a quiet room. Well, I could do that. That wasn't, you know, I wasn't scared about some new age strange thingy. I can go to a quiet room. All right. So I went to a quiet room. Step one, done. I'm on my way to meditating, you know. So I went to a quiet room. Step two, breathe. Well, shoot, I breathe all the time. This is easy. Quiet room, breathe. Okay. Step three, remove distractions like your telephone. So turn off the ringer, or unplug it, turn off the TV. I said, well, okay, I like TV, but I'm going to meditate. So step one, found the room. Two, quiet and breathing. And step four was, you know, they thought music was, you know, would be distracting. So, okay. So I went through the steps, right? And then it said, think about something. And I was like, what do I think about? And I was kind of paused for a while. Well, what do I think about? I couldn't think about one thing. And so I was on step four for a long time. And I finally said, okay, I'm going to think about something that helps me breathe. So I first thought about an orange, which doesn't help me at all, but I couldn't keep looking at an orange in my mind. So I thought, this isn't helping, this isn't working. So step four, I'm failing step four. So then I thought about a seashore, and I was thinking about the waves coming in and touching my feet and going out. I thought, okay, I like that because that I can time my breathing with the waves going in and out, because the breathing is a big thing on meditating. So step five was, you know, do this for 20 minutes. I thought, what? That's kind of hard. So I tried. Step six was, okay, empty your mind. I thought, wait. And the Lord goes, do not do step six. Okay. So 1 through 5 were good, and I did not do step six. If you empty your brain like these guys do, then things can come in. And you don't want anything coming in other than God. But God's already inside of you. So you don't do step six of emptying yourself out, because demons like to go where there's the empty. Okay? So meditating is setting your mind on something and keeping your mind on that. Okay? And so if you allow your breath, because you want to breathe, because if you don't breathe, then you die. So if you allow your breathing to help you stay focused, so I did steps 1 through 5, you know, of course I removed step six. There are no step six. So one through five, I would, on a weekend, because my days were so busy, I couldn't find a quiet place during the week. So on a weekend, you know, not during work, you know, not too late, not too early, I could, okay, my daughter's one place, my son's one place, my wife one place, there's no good movie on, okay, I can do step one and two, I can breathe, I've been doing that for a while, good, okay, imagine, and now I was trying to get to where I could think on one thing, just those waves, and my feet, and just that seashore. My goal was 20 minutes, just to think on the one thing. And the Lord told me, or I believe He said, that if you can do that, if you can focus on one thing for that long, then when I speak to you something, you'll really, really get it. And I was like, okay, I really, really want to hear from you. I really want to get it. I really want to do what you're telling me to do. But I had to train my soul or my brain to be able to be able, ready to receive what He was saying. Okay. So, for months, I would do this, practice breathing and practice the looking at the seashore. And I could get to 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. And then I would see people on the beach playing frisbee. I was, and then I'd start over again. I quieted myself down and breathe. And so after a while, after about 3 months, I could hold that image of the seashore for about maybe 10 minutes. Okay. And so then all of a sudden, that discipline that I did when I started reading scriptures, it's hard to explain. All I know is now that my mind was not so busy, things were clearer. Okay. Now that my mind wasn't filled with other things, I could hear Him clearer. I felt like things were easier to understand. I was not restless. I was not double-minded. And it was weird because I thought the way I was normal, but the way I was chaos, right? And so once I got to where I was, I don't know, could hear clearly, I finished a book. I mean, I actually wrote a book, you know, and I was like, well, this is cool. What if I kept hearing clearly and applied this clear thinking to the rest of my life? Oh my, you know. So I do know that when I learned to meditate, when I learned to get my brain less full of other voices, okay, when I could focus on His voice, because I believe His voice is life, okay, and this little discipline of taking those five steps, right, got me where I was more receptive to Him, okay. It got me in a position to respond to Him and not respond to everything. I mean, I respond to 3,000 things in one moment, right? But the Lord wants all of us because He wants to give all of Himself to us. But we have the choice to give a little bit or a lot. And I know at least this discipline of meditating helps one to give more of yourself to Him. So you're fully engaged in conversation, you're fully engaged in relationship, right? You're more relating all of yourself to all of Him. So that's what I found years ago. And then last night, it was like, we need to go deeper into meditating. So today, I've learned a bunch of more things to share with y'all that I didn't know yesterday. And again, it came from this meditating. Okay. So the first one, meditating will help tune your ears to hear His voice. It will tune you to receive what He's saying. Because it's not a audible voice per se, but it's a way that He leads. And if you can settle yourself down, you're more sensitive to His leading. Because the Bible is clear that it says that those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit. We need to learn how to be led. right? And that's the other thing that he was saying today, that the reason why we are so, I guess it's just for me, why I'm so weird is because I, and maybe the rest of you guys are better than I don't receive very well from a God who gives. And if we can learn to meditate, to focus on Him, then something happens in us that we learn how to be better receivers. And it's an amazing thing if you've been, not necessarily abused all your life, but if you've never been loved, it's hard to enter into a loving relationship because you're not used to love. I'm not personally used to receiving things without a price. But God doesn't have price tags. You know, He's like, here you go. Okay, what's the catch? Oh, I've got to be extra good now. Oh, you're giving me the salvation thing if I do. He says, no, I just want you to believe my Son. No. There's got to be something with this here. So I'm looking for something behind the scenes, some price tag that I've got to do because I had this. I was raised where, you know, if it was this good, there had to be a problem with it. Nothing was free, right? Nothing. No one gives you something without wanting something, but God does. God gives. God has so much to give to us, but we are either afraid to receive, think we're not worthy to receive. Can't believe He's giving it, so we don't take it from His hand. We don't even pick it off the ground. We don't even have expectation because we think we've received enough. I mean, oh my gosh, we're going to heaven. Oh my gosh, He's at least he didn't burn me up in fire, so I'm not going to expect anymore, and that's not good. But I'm telling you, if you step in this meditating, not only we have ears to hear what He's saying, but you'll learn how to receive from Him. Not take from Him, receive from Him. Okay? And it'll be a whole other dynamic in your relationship. Another thing is in this place of positioning yourself, you'll learn how to wait. We know that classic scripture in Isaiah 40, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The ability to wait, this characteristic of not working, not striving, not trying to make something happen, but waiting upon the Lord, this ability will grow stronger in you if you learn how to meditate. Learning to wait upon the Lord isn't coming from a book, isn't coming from a conference, isn't coming from an MP3, isn't coming from a CD. It's coming from learning how to focus on one thing. And then when you can focus on one thing, you can sit in your little room, in my case now a hotel room, and just turn off the TV and just wait expectantly upon the good God who's a giver. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 that if we diligently seek Him and believe He's a rewarder, I think we don't receive so much because we really, really don't believe in our heart of hearts that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. We think, that's a nice scripture, but it can't be that. So, but if we get to this place of meditating, okay, of setting our mind on Him, on putting all the other thoughts and words from people, words from ourselves, words from our parents, words from commercials, words from demons, words from all over stuff, all these opinions and thoughts, only thought or word or image that's important is what He has said, what He has highlighted, what He's brought to your attention, what He brings to the forefront. This is discerning, right? But we can't discern until we have a standard. How do you get a standard? We learn to meditate, right? Meditating will take you to this place of really learning how to behold. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So if we can, if you want the secret to being transformed, it's not by going to church or Bible school or Bible college or university. It is by looking at the glory of God. You want to be transformed? Okay. You want to be changed? It's here it is. You have a question?
2 Corinthians 3:18?
Yep. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So it says, "But we all with open face beholding the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory." We don't work, we behold. Beholding is not a sweaty activity, as in it is a believing activity. It's an activity of rest. It's an activity where you're focusing on Him and He changes you. You don't change for Him, He changes you. It's kind of like we were talking earlier about, you know, babies learning. But a baby can't change his own diaper. But the Father wants to change us. We can't change ourselves. We can't get better. We think we can. We'll dress up a little bit and we'll stop drinking, stop smoking, stop cussing, stop thinking bad thoughts, stop lusting, stop. And we go, "I have done something." And that's nice. You know, it's a nice little trinket of honor and, "Lord, look what I'm doing for you." But if you want to be like Him, we have to behold Him. How do we behold Him? We have to get to where we can stop making other things a priority. We need to get to where we have one thing we desire, and we get there through, I believe, through meditating. If we can meditate, then we can position ourselves to actually behold the Lord. And if we actually behold Him, we actually take the time to wait, to seek, to be before Him, we will be changed. It's not about doing anything other than letting Him do something in us. But we are so busy doing stuff, I think He can't get His hands on us. We're like a greased pig, you know? You know, and that grease is, we call it anointing, but it's the Father wants to get His hands on you so He can mold you, conform you into His image so that you can be all that you're designed to be. But we run around to, you know, cities and jobs and places, and we think if we get this and get that, then we'll be changed. There's a lot of good happens at a conference or at a listening to a CD or whatever. But the best thing, the deepest thing, is in His presence, okay? And believing these words, is if you behold Him, you are changed. Very simple scripture, but we've got to get to the place of positioning ourselves to behold Him. And when I was getting all these verses, I was going, this is pretty good, but I don't think I can pull it together. You know, I was wavering in my beholding, or I was wavering in my hearing, because I was like, I need something better here. I need an example. And the Lord, Holy Spirit, those guys, they are so faithful. And I didn't do the, you know, I don't think this is true. It might be true for me, but He gave me this scripture, Luke 10, verse 42, Luke chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. And this is that story about, our friends, Martha and Mary. Well, your friends too. They're our friends. And so write down that scripture, and you can read the story yourself, but I'll give the paraphrase. Basically, Jesus is staying over at their house. He's just come by, He's having lunch, and He's having a little meeting there at their house. You know, Martha and Mary are hosting Jesus, right? And I guess He's doing a house meeting, right? And He is. And they've got a good relationship. So Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus is the same Lazarus that was raised from the dead. So, you know, they're a tight family here, right? So Martha is running around cleaning the house up because, you know, Jesus didn't send an email saying, "I'm coming tomorrow or 2 weeks away, so get ready." He just shows up. So Martha is running around getting the chairs out. She's, you know, making sure people sign in, you know, and she's getting the trading cup platforms ready, and she's got an offering basket ready, and she's writing down a little note, you know, please give an offering because Jesus needs your money, you know. She's making sure there's places for the coats, you know, and she's doing all this stuff, running around, and she's you know, she's got to change clothes because, you know, you just can't be in your servant's clothes because Jesus is here. It's a meeting now. She's running around. Her hair's a mess, and everything is, you know, not in place. Then she looks around and goes, where is my sister? She needs to be cleaning up this house just like I'm cleaning up. And then she goes to Jesus and says, look, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? I mean, this is your meeting, we're hosting, and my sister should be sweating like I'm sweating. So she won't listen to me. Will you tell her to get off her lazy butt and come help? There are dishes that need to be cleaned. There's food that needs to be cooked. There's an after party coming up there, and we're not ready. You know, someone needs to go to the market. So, you know, she won't listen to me. She, you know how she is. You tell Mary. And what does Jesus say? Oh, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. And I went, what? But this is a meeting for Jesus. She's doing a bunch of good things. But Jesus says, one thing is needful. Ooh, one thing. And I was like, God, you're so good. You gave me the one thing verse at the beginning, and you gave me the one thing verse at the end. Verse 42, Luke 10. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I'm telling you, if you guys can grasp this ability to meditate, which is a choice, Mary chose it, okay? You can choose it. I know you get some Martha thinking minds like I do, but it's possible. One thing is needful. When you prioritize, when you start prioritizing stuff, not a works thing, but it is a discipline, because it takes a choice. It takes lots of choices, right? But let me read again. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose to go to the meeting, and she sat. If you look at verse 39, Luke 10, 39, it says that Mary just sat at Jesus' feet. What was she doing? She was beholding him. She wanted to be changed. She wanted to be with the source of life. And we need to get our priorities straight too. And how can we do that? Through meditating, right? And so it is, I mean, it's that simple, but it's like, it can't be that simple. It's that easy, but it can't be that easy. But it is that easy. But it's one choice at a time, okay? It's not like, okay, I'm going to, like I told you earlier, you know, for me to think about a seashore and the waves lapping to my feet for 5 minutes, it took me 3 months to get to that point. I never got to where I could think about that for 20 minutes. Okay, I never got there. But I got to where I was not flooded with, like Mary, with all the careful and troubled by many things. The many things fell down to a few things, right? To where I could push them aside, and when I would do a Mary, I could read a scripture, and the Lord could just, I could get all of the nourishment out of that verse, right? All the life that's there, and it was amazing. So, my ability to take a verse and then convey it back is just not a gift that I have. It's because I've learned to be a Mary and not a Martha on the word, because meditating will help you be more Mary and get to where one thing focused and choosing the good part. And more importantly, this will not be taken away from you. Okay? This is fruit that remains. When you can get, and again, I can, well, maybe it's someone who will be listening to this tape later on, but the point is, or a point, or one of the more points is, don't think about, oh, I've got to work at this. No, there is some work required, but the return on your investment of choosing is beyond calculated value, okay? And there is effort here, because if you think about, you know, any party you've ever been to or any preparation, you've got Martha's and Mary's, right? And so Martha is doing all this stuff, which is good to do, okay, but not the best thing, okay? And so, you know, when we get up, when you hang up this message or get ready for the next day, you have a 24-hour day, right? And in that day, you're going like, wait a minute, in this 24 hours, I can be changed from glory to glory. I can be more like Jesus. Which of these 24 hours am I going to do that? Okay, well, I can't. I got an 8-hour day job. And okay, I'm not changing there. Okay, when I get home, oh no, I got to watch a movie. Oh, I got to take the dog out. Oh, okay. Later on, after work, oh, I got to go to the gym. Okay. Before bed, I got 45 minutes. Oh, wait, my show's on that night. Okay, the next day, I'm going to be changed. So if we look at our day and start trying to figure out, okay, when in this day am I going to position myself to let the Father have His way with me? Because I want to be the best I can be for Him, His way, not my way, because my ways are okay, but they're not best. I've just learned a secret. Yes, it is. The secret's been revealed. How to be more like Jesus. It is, let Him do the work in you. Okay? How do we do that? Well, you have to set yourself aside by beholding Him. Well, how can I do that? Well, you need to get all of the thoughts off out of your head and let one thing be focused, and that'll be Him. Okay? I'm telling you, you will not be discouraged. You won't be. It's not like, you know, I've bought books and tapes and stuff that people have promised, oh, if you listen to this first 15 minutes, your life will never be the same. Well, I bought that, and I'm thinking like, ooh, they lied. But this is about when you start getting yourself in front of Him, okay, this is what meditating is. Well, meditating is just an ability to get you where you can focus on one thing. The next step, once you can focus on one thing, let that one thing be Him, okay? This is not about, you know, oh, I can see the seashore. No, there's no life in the seashore. That's an exercise, right? To get to where now I can shut down all those other voices. I can shut down the voices from my past. I can shut down the voices from when I was 12 and 20 and all those opinions and all those questions. I can shut those things down now because I've been exercising my ability to make them be quiet so that I can focus on the one thing. Okay, the one thing being, I need to hear His voice because His voice is life to me. I have to have Him speak because He is the only source of life. Nothing else nourishes. Nothing else satisfies. Yes, T.D. Jakes is great and fun and good, but He is not Jehovah, the one who speaks, and in His mouth is spirit and life. The Bible is true, and I believe it. Man does not live by conference or bread alone, but by every word He speaks. I need revelation from Him to make it to tomorrow, to make it through Friday, to Saturday, to Sunday, for me to walk in my high call, not just a low call, not just a good call, but to walk in His perfect will. I need Him. By getting yourself to be able to calm down your mind, to get to where you can wait upon the Lord and renew your strength, to where you can behold Him and be changed, to have your ears tuned where you can actually have ears to hear. How do you get those ears? Learn how to meditate, and then you can focus on hearing His voice, and you will have ears to hear. Okay? All right. That's my commercial about meditating, and for $3.99, you too can be... No. But... there's no $3.99 out there or $9.99. Now there are people that will sell you stuff on this whole deal. Just say, "No, I've got it. I got my five steps." But as soon as you do your five steps, then you focus on the one. Okay? And the one loves you. And the one will teach you how to receive. The one will teach you how to hear. The one will teach you how to live. The one will teach you how to look him eye to eye. I mean, wow. I mean, he'll take away the unworthy. He'll take away the shame. He'll take away the fear. He wants to do that, but he can't. And when we're looking at him, looking around, looking up, looking down, when we can start in our hearts, one thing I desire and one thing I seek, and then you fill in the blank. What is your one desire? Not your multiple desires, not your double-minded stuff, because we know that having multiples leads to confusion. There is a place where you can have that one thing. Then once you get that, you go to the next one thing. Do you pick a one thing? No. You let him pick for you, then you know it's right. And this is the relationship that we get to grow into, right? To where, I mean for me personally, I know this from, you know, my relationship with my mom. I'd be on a football field and stands be packed with hundreds of people or thousands of people. And I'd learn to hear her voice, not out of, I didn't practice it. It was just, my mom came to all my football games, right? And out of this relationship, my ear got tuned to her voice. No matter how many people were in the stands, I would find her, which I don't know how I did that. I'd find her and I could hear her. And she wasn't saying a lot of good things. She was saying things like, "Don't hit my son, you know, be careful, I'm going to get you," you know. It was very embarrassing things, but I take that interaction with my mom, who loved me a lot, and I transfer that to my God, who loves me so much he gave his only begotten son and he died for me. And I want to be able to comprehend how great his love is for me. I mean, what it means when the Bible says that he's for me, you know. If he's for me, I should have no fears, right? I should have no doubts. I should be confident. Why aren't I confident and fearless? Because I've not set myself in a place to have that one thing that is needful. And I've not got to the place where that confidence will not be taken away or be moved by a new, unique, stressful situation, right? But it's available for all of us. Okay.